Now our main topic today, homeless vets and that new 24-acre campus taking shape in Midtown Kansas City. With us, Art Fillmore. He's an attorney with Levy & Craig, and he spent two decades in pursuit of a campus like the St. Michael's Veterans Center. Art, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you, Steve.
Jonathan Cohen is also here. He's a principal and CEO of Yarko. That's a developer of this project and a Kansas City-based company, right, Jonathan?
That's correct. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you here. Welcome. Yeah. Well, Art, the story of this campus is pretty much your story. When did you first begin thinking about this, and what did you have in mind at the time?
Well, we really have been talking about something like this for the past 20 years since we started the stand-down program for homeless veterans. And to me, the stand-down was a great three-day Band-Aid, but it wasn't a permanent solution.
What was a stand-down?
A stand-down is a three-day event in the spring, a one-day event in the fall, which we bring in homeless veterans for 90 social service agencies, food, clothing, haircuts, showers, job training. We have a MASH unit. We actually have a special court session on Saturday, get rid of minor problems like trespassing, and allows vets who want to take advantage of a 3 days to get off the streets. But at the end of that 3 days, they're back on the streets, or they've gotten off. But I was looking for something that was more permanent in nature. And so for years, I was talking to people around the GSA, Brad Scott, Woody Overton, and saying, you know, can you find a building? But the building, which has just been a dormitory, and then it was really Mike Halterman, the CEO of Catholic Charities, who was recommended to me by Stuart Hunt of Yarko. And he came to me and said, I've got this idea. So this particular campus was really Mike's idea and Stuart's idea. And they came to me and they said, we kind of like would like some veterans input on it. So I'd been working with homeless vets for 20 years. So I said, this is my vision. This is perfect.
And you're so invested in this. Why? What is it in your background that's brought you to this point?
Well, I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam, and I did suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder when I came back because nobody wanted to talk about it, and so you repress your memories for about 15 or 20 years, and all of a sudden they hop out of the box one day. Mm. And so I had nightmares virtually every night for about 15 years, so I understand what caused a lot of these people to get in the situation. I was fortunate. I was able to overcome it, but I also understand those who weren't.
Yeah. Jonathan Cohen, put this campus on the map for us. Where is it going to be located exactly so people can understand and wrap their arms around it a little bit?
Absolutely. The campus is located just to the south of the campus for the Veterans Administration Hospital. It's
on located, Broadway?
The Veterans Administration Hospital campus is at Emanuel Cleaver, just south of I-70.
Yeah.
That this is located at 39th and Emanuel Cleaver.
So I was off in my description of it being in Midtown then, right?
It is almost adjacent to the Veterans Administration Hospital at I-70 and Emanuel Cleaver Parkway.
I was on Google Maps last night trying to find it. I was having trouble. Maybe that begins to speak to that. And when did you all begin to think about this in terms of it being a campus?
Our work really began with Mike Halterman from Catholic Charities and Art in 2010. We began looking at the idea of developing a campus that had not just housing but also an array of supportive services that would be customized for the needs of veterans that are specific to each locale. We began visiting campuses across the country, different pilot programs that had been developed under different funding mechanisms with different target populations, all of which had a homeless veterans component. And then we began to look at campus options for a location here in Kansas City and ultimately settled on the campus that's now being developed.
Give us a sense here of phase one of this development, Art. What does it include and what's happening on the site right now?
We're starting to break ground on the site. There'll be a lot of grading, a lot of dirt to be moved. It's a very hilly location. And phase one will actually have two parts to it. One is the residential part, in which we'll build a building with about 58 one-bedroom apartment, self-contained, each one with a full kitchen and bathroom. And also we'll have a service building on the campus just north of the residential piece. So it'll really be two pieces. And then hopefully if we get the funding for it, we'll also build a Garden of Honor down near the entrance, which will be accessible to the public.
So there's nothing like this in the Midwest.
There's really nothing like this that we know of anywhere in the country, certainly not in the Midwest. There are other projects which have gone up to assist with the problem of homelessness for veterans, but they have been more in an urban environment and nothing like a campus with 23 acres. I mean, this piece of land is special, and it will eventually grow into many, many additional resources. We've even looked at equine training for PTSD. Mm-hmm. And so it's such a nice piece of land. And, in fact, we'd like to hold stand down there in the future too.
Jonathan?
Which would absolutely be a great addition to the operation. Part of what we learned when we visited different campuses that targeted different homeless populations, and there was one in Chicago, for example, where there were a number of homeless veterans that had sought refuge and were receiving services at this homeless center. Part of what we learned mirrored what we've learned in the housing business. We're operating about 100 different multifamily communities today, and what we've learned in building or taking over management operation for a multifamily community is when you've been to one, you've been to one. And the different needs of the real estate, the different needs of the people who are served by the real estate are unique to each development. So part of what we undertook with this campus development was identifying what are the specific needs in Kansas City, how badly is the population here underserved, what specific services would best help them to reintegrate into a stable lifestyle, and that's the plan that we have been pursuing.
Did you conclude, Jonathan, that the needs of homeless vets in Kansas City are somewhat different than the needs of homeless vets in Chicago or Baltimore, for that matter?
Absolutely. First of all, the need itself is growing here more than in most places in the nation.
Because?
Well, there are a number of contributing factors, but the end statistic that is driving some of our concern and the development of this campus is that in the state of Missouri between 2009 and 2011, the homeless veteran population increased by 22%, which is the fifth highest increase of any state of the nation, which is very concerning. As you mentioned at the top of the hour, there's about 1,800 men and women who are homeless on any given night in the greater Kansas City area, and there's only something less than 150 beds for them available. So part of what we're trying to do is identify the specific needs and then address those specific needs first with the campus, then by making sure that we can connect ourselves to the population that needs the housing and the services,
yeah,
attract them there, and then continue to custom design the services that best meets the population that arrives.
Why is Kansas City becoming a focal point of for homeless vets? Why are homeless vets gathering here?
You know, it's almost an anomaly because if you look at our weather, the place to be homeless is San Diego.
Yeah, right, sure.
And San Diego, in fact, has a huge homeless population. But I was speaking to a professor from the University of Missouri 2 days ago who's been doing a lot of research on homeless veteran populations. And both Missouri in general and Kansas City specifically are way disproportionate to most communities in the country for our population size. And even Kansas City with 1,800 homeless vets is four times that of St. Louis. And I can't really tell you why it is. I think part of the reason is that we've been doing stand-downs pretty successfully here for 20 years, and it draws a lot of homeless veterans because they get a lot of services, and it's a great program.
Word gets around.
Right. They have a very – they listen to the radio, and they talk to each other, and they are very much a community on the street. So the word does get around, yes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date, and we're talking this morning about plans for a one-stop shop of quality housing and social services for homeless vets here in the Kansas City area. We're wondering what you make of this idea, and in fact, do you favor the idea of Kansas City becoming home to a campus set aside for homeless vets? Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. You know, Art, you talk about this for a little bit, and you sort of can't help but walk away and wonder, why has it taken so many years for Kansas City, for the country for that matter, to get to this point where we're considering and pursuing campuses like this for homeless vets?
It's partly that the VA's changed its model of treating homeless vets. In the past, the VA has been placed a great deal of emphasis on transitional housing, 60 days to 2 years. And, in fact, that hasn't reached a permanent solution. So I think the focus has gone to permanent housing. And, frankly, the opportunity I've been looking for 20 years is just because of this idea came up, this piece of land became available, that that we were able to transform an idea into a real plan.
And you were saying this does sort of jibe with where President Barack Obama is right now on this issue.
Correct. He and VA Secretary Shinseki both.
And they're talking about permanent housing for homeless vets.
Correct. In fact, I've discussed this particular project with the Secretary on a couple of occasions, and he thinks it could become a pilot, a beacon for the rest of the country.
A national model.
Right.
Right here in Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just going to add to that that I believe that one of the reasons that the problem has become as bad as it is the difficulty in assembling a solution. The solution that we're part of now is a large partnership between private firms in the community like mine and like Arts, individuals like Art who are passionate and committed, in combination with community organizations, not-for-profit, our partner Catholic Charities, who has more than 100 years in providing instrumental social services to help people in need, will be the lead service provider on this campus and will ultimately own the campus. And a whole array of public organizations have helped guide and also support the development financially and with great ideas and experience that the City of Kansas City and the EDC and Missouri Housing Development Commission have all seen through their years and know the problem that needs to be addressed, and we get to serve each other's mission by serving those in need.
So politically, this project has a lot of resonance with a whole lot of people.
I believe
so, good news.
And for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
It is the right time for the right project. You know, veterans are receiving a much more attention, much more welcoming home now than they used to. And unfortunately, what we're seeing with OEF and OIF, which is Afghan Iraqi veterans, is that the fact of multiple deployments is causing dysfunctions that didn't used to exist. Plus, the economy has affected their ability to get back their jobs, to maintain jobs, even their federal guidelines in place. So we're now seeing a younger population on the streets, which is very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But the need, I think the acceptance of veterans for what they've done for the country is at a point where the public is saying it's time to do something about this. So mm-hmm. It's kind of the perfect storm from our perspective of all the right things coming together at the right time.
I was going to say, and all that's so good, right?
It is.
The timing
yeah.
couldn't be better.
But when you said complicated, you were right about that. I think we've spent literally thousands of hours in the last couple of years putting this thing together. So, but it's going to be a fantastic project.
And again, just to restate the location for this, as I erroneously reported where it's going to be in the intro, this is out at the VA hospital, I-70.
Yeah.
I-70 and what?
Van Brunt.
Okay.
And then that becomes clearer as you go south.
Right. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Susan from North Kansas City. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to know whether I support this wholeheartedly. And I'd like to know
why is that, Susan? Why do you support it?
Because these people stood up for the principles of this country, and because I have had nephews, all of my nephews, who have served, who have suffered through multiple deployments, mm-hmm. and every single one of them has come back with significant issues, mm-hmm. mental health issues.
Okay.
But I also wanted to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there facilities being designed for women vets, because women vets are often the invisible vets, and while they may not show up as being the prototypical homeless person, there's a lot of homeless women vets out there.
That's a great question, Susan. Jonathan, why don't you weigh in on that?
Absolutely. The statistics are that somewhere around 8% of our nation's veterans and by the way, as we started researching this, I did not realize myself that approximately 1 in 13 American citizens was a soldier. It is a large portion of our population and, unfortunately, a badly underserved portion of our population. And I couldn't have said it better than Susan did. These individuals have stood up for us. So it's so critically important that we stand up for them. And the female population for veterans is approximately 8% of the total. There are women veterans who are homeless,
mm-hmm.
and our intent is to determine person by person how to attract people to the campus and determine what their needs are in order to use existing programs and fine-tune those for the needs of the individuals, both men and women, for the St. Michael's campus.
Will there be housing available for women vets?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So hopefully that answers Susan's question. Yeah.
Yes, there will be. And our experience at Stand Down is that if we have a typical attendance of 750 homeless vets, which is our usual headcount, about 50 of them will be women. So we're very aware of the homelessness among women vets.
Yeah. Susan, thanks for your good phone call. Let's go to John from Independence. John, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Hey, what specifics will you have where churches could be of a support to what you're doing?
I think he's interested in helping. Do I hear you right, John?
Yeah, yeah.
How can churches, church groups pitch in and help out here?
There are a whole array of community organizations that we are partnering with and that we still want to partner with, and we would absolutely love to connect with you and determine how we can serve each other's constituents.
How can folks get in touch with you guys and make a connection here?
I believe that my firm and Art's firm that our web links are posted on KCUR's website. We also have a brand new live website for St. Michael's that has contact information on it.
And what is that website? Give it out here.
That is kcveterans.org.
kcveterans.org. I hope that's simple enough, John.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your phone call, John.
If someone would like to write to us or to make a contribution to, we do have a P.O. box. It's P.O. box 4131. 62 KCMO 64141-3162.
Okay, we're going to get that up on our website as we go along this hour. And again, that address, Post Office Box 413162, Kansas City, Missouri 64141. We'll get it there.
Correct.
Okay. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Let's go to one more call before our break. Jose from Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
I was just wondering. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, thanks.
Oh, thank you. Well, I just was wondering, what was the, the drive of choosing the 39th Street location? Was there any other ideas of locations within Kansas City of serving the veteran population? What was the decision-making process in the whole thing,
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Jose. What other locations were considered? How did we wind up at this location?
There were several different campus options. We looked, for example, at the Nazarene campus on 63rd Street as one of our serious contenders. Ultimately, what happened was we entered into conversations with the City of Kansas City, Missouri, and discussed with them and with the Kansas City Economic Development Commission land holdings that were key to the city's plan that included this particular parcel where we are developing, which is in a key area of our community. It has been underserved. It has been identified as difficult to develop. And by helping to serve the city's needs, we could better put this campus to use and help the city as well as the veterans at the same time.
What was here before you all came along?
Many years ago, this was the site of an apartment property called Holy Temple Homes. So this has been referred to as the former Holy Temple Homes site.
That's been torn down.
That has been torn down decades ago.
That's the great thing about this piece of land is it's actually not only a great project for us, but it's a great redevelopment project for the city because it's taken what was blighted land, raised land. It's been vacant for 20 years and turned into a very productive use that will also create jobs for the neighborhood.
Is it a pretty open piece of property? Are there buildings, once you get off your 24 acres, are there lots of buildings there, or is it open space?
It's an open space. There's a church to the southeast of where we are, but the land itself is open.
Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation here about St. Michael's Veterans Center and big plans ahead. Three phases being talked about here. We'll continue our conversation with Art Fillmore and Jonathan Cohen, and we'll talk a little bit more about putting a face on exactly who these homeless vets are. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversations with Kansas City Star columnists Matt Keenan and Kevin Collison, you can find those and all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk with the authors of The Law of Superheroes, and we'll take a look at what to expect from the job market in 2013. This hour, we're talking about the latest developments with St. Michael's Veterans Center, a three-phase development being planned for near the Veterans Hospital in eastern Kansas City. We're visiting with Art Fillmore, who's an attorney with Levy & Craig. He's been pursuing this project for a couple of decades. And Jonathan Cohen, a principal and CEO of Yarko, that's the developer of this project. Our phone number here again, 816-235-2888, and our email address, update@kcur.org. Art, these homeless vets are from wars, what, going all the way back to Korea these days or World War II?
We've had them as, going back to World War II, and then we've got them now coming from OEF and OIF, which is Afghanistan and Iraq.
And the percentages, I assume, are from the more the higher percentages are from the more recent wars.
I'd say that the higher percentage is from Vietnam. Probably half of our vets are from Vietnam, but the number of younger vets is increasing dramatically.
Hmm. I thought this was interesting in a report I read last night. Veterans who had served in the most recent wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were more likely to report a traumatic brain injury and to have received some form of mental health treatment than veterans of other wars. 27% of Iraq-Afghanistan veterans reported traumatic brain injury compared to 19% of other veterans. Why is it so heavily tilted towards Iraq and Afghanistan, Art?
Primarily because they are now surviving explosions and other things that would have killed them when I was in the Army, for example. The Kevlar body armor, that's why you see so many vets without arms and legs, because that body armor keeps them alive, and that same explosion or that same landmine, booby trap, IED would have killed a soldier in years past. So now they're surviving it, but that's the good and the bad news. Now they may have fewer limbs and also TBI.
46% of Iraq-Afghanistan vets reported some form of mental health treatment compared to 41% of other veterans. Again, that goes back to what you were saying earlier, that it's cooler now, I guess, to seek help for mental conditions than it was perhaps in the past.
It's not only cooler, but also it's acceptable within military standards, because in the past, if you went to a mental health professional saying, I'm having problems, I'm having this, you could receive a less than honorable or a medical discharge. It was not manly to worry about what to think about what happened. It wasn't manly to be concerned about having killed people or having your friends killed. So today they're actually putting social workers out, not in the front lines but in the base camp, so that when these soldiers come back to a base camp, they're meeting with social workers, talking about their week.
Wow.
And so now it's really the Department of Defense has finally decided there's more to this than being macho, that there's a brain involved in all of this. So it's partly the DOD's recognition a problem exists.
Art Fillmore, tell us a little bit about the lives of these homeless vets. I don't know if you can pick out one or two folks, maybe you've met them, and tell us their stories. Does anything come to mind you can help us pinpoint who these people are?
Well, they're in a very violent environment, some of them. We have at least one of our vets get killed on the streets every year. And I'll tell you about one that was fairly early in stand down. They all have street names, or a lot of them do. His name was Pappy. And Pappy's defense mechanism was he made himself so foul, so vile, so smelly that you wouldn't want to get near him. And so he didn't clean off after defecated or urinated, and so he truly stunk so badly you couldn't get close to him. He came into our camp, or into stand down. We had to hose him down just to get near him because nobody could stand the odor. And over 3 days, we saw a transformation of a guy that stopped drinking for 3 days, who realized he was a human being, not an animal. And about a month after stand down, I was walking down the street downtown Kansas City, and I heard somebody yell, "Hey, Art," and I looked around. There was a guy driving a red truck, and I thought, "Who's that?" And I walked over, and I looked at him. I said, "Pappy." He said, "I'm not Pappy anymore. I'm Mike, and I've got my electrical contracting business back." So they're people like us. I mean, they are people. The guy that started the concept of Stand Down was—
What an amazing story.
Yeah.
That's just breathtaking.
Yeah, and that's why we keep doing it. You know, we measure our success one bet at a time. But when you see something like that, you know, there are people out there who want it, who want to change their lives, who want to transform. If you get in the tools, some will do, and some are very happy. 80% of them are very happy with where they are. They don't want the responsibility of a full citizenship. But for those who want the chance, I've seen what can happen, and it's worth it. We owe it to them.
We have an email here from Shelley from Lenexa. She called in this. "I think this is the most honorable thing for Kansas City to do. I moved here 40 years ago from Florida, and I think the Midwest sets a great example. My question is, can private citizens and groups donate much like the program at the Kauffman Center for the Performing Arts?" Again, we sort of answered.
Right.
Yeah, people can drop you a note.
We need private donations, particularly for the Honor Guard. But as we move along and our kcveterans.org website becomes more active, people who want to volunteer services or whatever else will be able to interact with that website and get their name before us, whether it's programmatic or individual contributions.
And the Honor Guard you mentioned is what?
It's the Honor Garden. It is it's
Honor
gonna be a
Garden.
Place, garden, right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a place that is have a water feature, and it'll have the five shields of the services plus one for the National Guard, and it'll be a garden near the entrance where people can come for contemplation, reflection, a place of peace, a place of meditation, and it will be open to the public. So it's going to be a beautiful addition of just we hope, a signature piece for Kansas City on its own.
Right there on the campus you're
right
talking
there on
about.
The, right yeah. As you come in.
And your website again is?
kcveterans.org.
Okay, and your address again, Post Office Box 413162, Kansas City, Missouri 64141. We'll get that up
Correct.
On our website later on today too. Mary from Independence. Mary, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Thank you so much for taking my call. And I am so proud of you guys. I really am. I come from a family of four brothers. They served from the Pacific to clear to the Vietnam War. And also I have a granddaughter that was first boots there in Iraq.
Hmm.
So you see how I am? I am so proud. Well, the reason why I called is because I wanted to know, are you going to extend this housing for other vets? You know, you said that you're going through the names
right.
or whatever, see their background. Now, like with the women.
All right. Let's take a step back. And Jonathan Cohn, CEO of Yarko, walk us through the three phases again and how many units are in each of the phases and help people reorient on this thing a little bit.
Absolutely. The overall campus will have three phases of housing. The first phase of housing, we will begin construction early this year. That will contain 58 units. The next two
one
phases...
One-bedroom units, if I understand right.
58 one-bedroom units,
mm-hmm.
correct, Steve. And the next two phases will contain approximately 54 units each to be developed in subsequent years, 2014, 2015. Also this year, we're expecting to break ground on the Welcome Center and Services building that will act as a focal point and will contain all of the services and programs and activities to help veterans, men and women, escape homelessness and create stability in their lives.
Maybe this is a good point, Art, to talk about financing of all this. I think Lynn Horsley's good article in The Star the other day talked about the fact that phase one, the money is there, but the money's not there for the other two phases. Give us an update on where we stand here.
Well, for the housing piece, we've gone to the MHDC, the Missouri Housing Development Commission, and we've sought, and for phase one have received tax credits, which allow us to create the equity to build the first housing piece.
And this will fund virtually almost the entire project, right?
For the first housing piece of phase one, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the service center, We've gone to the city of Kansas City, Missouri, through the mayor and the council, and Troy Schulte, the city manager, who've been very helpful. And we've received a community development block grant, which will allow us to build the service building. So all of the money to this point has come from either the state or the city through tax credits or through incentives. And we'll go back to the we're back actually this year with the MHDC seeking more tax credits for the building of part two, phase two of the housing.
And phase three is still sort of on the horizon here.
We'll do that again the following year. Correct.
Yeah. I'm just struck by the fact that you're talking about state and local monies. The Veterans Secretary of Veterans Affairs under President Obama, you mentioned, so supportive of this. Where's the federal money?
Well, there was a program a number of years ago, up to $100 million for 10 projects, $10 million apiece to do just this kind of thing. Only one city took it up, and that was Catholic Charities, in conjunction with the VA in Chicago, which built a campus called St. Leo's.
Why didn't other cities take advantage of that money?
It's hard to say, but the program's gone now. So the VA is strapped like all other federal departments are, and it doesn't have that was a loan program, but it was a very low-interest, long-term loan program. But now it just doesn't have the money to spend. So it's got people are having to take care of their own.
Jonathan, hop in here.
To intentionally muddy the water a little bit, I think that it's fair to say that a number of the funding mechanisms, whether we're talking about community development block grant or home dollars or even low-income housing tax credits, that there's a blurring between what's federal money and what's state money and what's city money. The low-income housing tax credits, for example, are actually a credit that is created under Section 42 of the Internal Revenue Service Code. Mm. It is a federal income tax credit that the federal government has empowered each state agency to control their allocation for their state, similar to how HUD money under the federal government passes to local communities through community development block grants and home money to be allocated out based on what that specific community needs. And as we undertook this program and went through the competitive application process for each layer of funding for each component of our campus development, part of what we were doing is competing against other very viable projects here in the community that the community needs. And it's up to, in the case of CDBG money, for example, the city of Kansas City, Missouri, it's up to Missouri Housing Development Commission, and in the case of low-income housing tax credits, where those monies will be assigned.
Hmm. Let's go back to some phone calls here. Jim from Leavenworth. Jim, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the show. I just got in the last 10 minutes or so. So if you've covered this, I apologize. I was involved with Catholic Charities Reveille House up here in Leavenworth back in the early 2000s. One of my responsibilities was trying to find jobs and transportation. And so I would ask you, I'm not familiar with where you're locating this site, but preeminently difficult was getting jobs for these guys and gals. We were transporting them over to the airport, and so if there's anything, you know, call centers, they, you know, all kinds of things. Thank you.
Yeah, talk about the challenges there of finding jobs, and we'll talk about transportation here in a minute too.
Well, the transportation is going to be it's a great site for transportation. There's a bus stop literally at the base of our site, so it's great. And we've also talked to the VA about using some vehicles to get the vets there. We're only talking about a base population of 58 people initially, plus workers. But we're also going to have a strong emphasis on JOM and voc rehab. So in order to qualify for a VASH voucher, a VA-assisted voucher, people have to be employable and eventually employed. So the idea is not to provide a place for people to hang out for all day. It's to provide a community where people interact with one another and become fully employed citizens, and we hope eventually they'll work themselves out of these low-income housing vouchers like the Section 8 of the VASH voucher and be able to pay rent. I mean, that's really – this is their home for the rest of their life if they want it to be. It's not to be subsidized the whole time. It's to give them a start. But it's our hope and our dream that they will become fully employed, productive citizens, and that's what the program's designed to do.
And I gather, Art, by what you were saying before, that some veterans may not take advantage of this. Some homeless vets may prefer life on the streets for whatever set of reasons.
No, that's true. That's true of the homeless population in general, but it's true of veterans. And I mean, I just had conversations with them, and some of them show up stand down for 3 hots and a cot. They want hot meals. They want a place to sleep that night. That's fine. I mean, it's available for them. But for a lot of them, you know, they're looking for the answer. We call it a stand down, a hand up, not a hand out. But certainly on the campus, that'll be a hand up, not a hand out on steroids, because we're going to really, really give them the tools.
You know, you had mentioned a little while ago that the environment that many homeless vets live in these days is violent. Why is it violent?
Well, they don't have much, and what they have, what they really want is what somebody else has. It's if you take a bunch of people who have very little, there's often a lot of alcohol or drugs involved. They see something they want and they take it. It's a very, very violent world. I mean, I've been under the bridges and I've seen where they live, and it's a very hostile environment. And that's why to get them out of that environment into a place of security, whether it's stand down or a place where they can live, it's going to make a complete mental change in their outlook.
Well, I hope the two of you will come back and visit with us as this project continues and you move into phase 2 and phase 3. And by all means, congratulations on all the good work you're doing. What an exciting project this is for our town. And maybe it becomes a national model. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be great.
Absolutely.
Let's put out those addresses again. The website to contact you guys, Art, is what again?
kcveterans.org.
Okay, and again, the address to send a donation or to inquire with questions, P.O. Box 413162, Kansas City, Missouri, 64141.
Correct.
And again, we'll have that on our website later on today. I want to thank Art Fillmore, Jonathan Cohen for coming in. Thank you so much for your time today,
guys. Thank you, Steve.
Really appreciate having us.
Good luck. You can find more information about our broadcasts at kcur.org. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you are up to date.